Please be seated, and Rosanna will come and share our gospel reading.
At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they are worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you shall all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all other people living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down."
So when I saw this reading, I thought, okay, this is one of these passages. But I found a couple commentators whose writings I found particularly helpful. I think this reading challenges us with the question, how do we understand when bad things happen? What do we do? How do we see it? I know in adult ed last week, I heard the end of the conversation, and it sounded like some of this had come up in the conversation in terms of how powerful is God and how much is God in control or not? That's part of what's being talked about here, isn't it? It's interesting because we have Jesus, we kind of get this glimpse of the news of the day, what was happening. Pilate, the Roman governor, had done something which for Jewish people would have been absolutely horrific, which is they were trying to bring, you know, they had the still temple worship where they made sacrifices, and though there were these Galileans who had tried to revolt against Pilate, and when he killed them, he didn't just kill them, he took some of their blood and mixed it in with the sacrifice. And then there was a tower, apparently, that people were working on, and it fell and killed 18 people. And again, his question is, do bad things happen to people because they're bad? Do bad things happen because they're worse than someone else? Now, we might all go, well, no, we don't believe that. And yet there is a part of us, sort of that, you know, elementary school sense of justice that kind of wants, we wish it was that way a lot of the time. We wish things only happened to bad people, that's for sure. And we also, frankly, at times wish bad things would happen to bad people. Anybody felt any of that lately? Because it doesn't really seem to work quite that way either, does it? At least not in the way we can see. And then there's this line, unless you repent, you're going to perish just like they did. What, you're going to have, you know, get killed by Pilate? You're going to have a tower fall on you? Obviously not that kind of just like they did. But this sense that Jesus is trying to offer an alternative way and that people are dying without any sense of how to claim this alternative understanding, this alternative vision and reality of who God is and how to be faithful people and how to live into that. And unless you can grasp hold of that, your death will be like others. A sense of what's the point? How did it make a difference? How do we understand it? We die. We don't live forever, so we all die. I will confess to y'all, when I read this, and I keep having to resist the urge to use a four-letter word that begins with S. Because this is one of those passages when I read it and I think, yeah, you know, just happens. Part of what we struggle with is it does seem there is a certain randomness to life. If you let go of the idea, which I had to a long time ago, that God is controlling everything. Because if that's true, then how do we live with that God? If you let go of that, then you're left with, there's a certain randomness to life. Things happen, good and bad, and we don't deserve the good, and people, when the bad happens, we don't deserve the bad particularly. There's just stuff that happens. I mean, Paul does write about there's ways in which all of creation is fallen under sin. Tornadoes hit yesterday in Missouri and Oklahoma. People died. They didn't make that happen. Fires, they didn't make that happen. We know so much of what happens in the world just happens. When I first was reading, part of the enjoyment right now is that Bill's back to preaching. My husband's back to preaching regularly. So when we're on the same text, we have these conversations at home. And so we got into this early in the week, and he said, I don't think those two paragraphs are related. I'm just going to talk about the first part. And then I read this fascinating, for me, commentary that made them very much related. So I share with you what Mark Luce wrote. Jesus raises these two incidents and people's questions about how do we understand this, why things happen, and why does God let these things happen? And then he tells this parable. And when we hear this parable, we're tempted when we read these kind of parables about owners and landlords and those kind of people in control to think, oh, this is an allegory and that's God. But what kind of God is this who says, well, you haven't borne fruit for 3 years, so let's chop it down? And Mark Luce's point is that's not the God Jesus came proclaiming. God is the gardener who says, give it a little more time. Let me work with it a little bit. Let me dig it up. Let me help it out. Let me give it some manure. Let me give it some fertilizer. Let's give it some more time. And maybe it will have a transformation. Maybe next year it will bear fruit. This is the God Jesus proclaims in the Gospel of Luke, for sure. I think in all the Gospels, but very clearly in Luke. The God of second chances, third chances, maybe 70 times seven chances. The God who, in another parable, Jesus says, you know, we don't go in and chop out all the weeds, because if we do that, we'll chop out the good stuff too. We let it all, we give it time, and eventually, in the fullness of time, the good and the bad will get separated. But in the meantime, we have to live with both. There are bad things that happen that clearly are the result of human beings doing wrong things. No question. But there's also a lot that just happens. But the God we know in Jesus Christ is the God who continually is saying, I'm here with you. I'm trying to give you another chance. I'm trying to bring forth the goodness that is here, the goodness that God can see and knows in the heart of people where we may not be able to see it at all. Do we dare to believe, as the Quakers say, that the light of God is in every single human being? That redemption is always possible? That God is always working to try to change our lives, change our hearts, turn us toward God. So in this season of our lives, when there is so much in the world that seems bad in our country, I found myself reading this week and thinking, this spring of 2025, let's spend a little more time in the garden. As I said to the kids, let's look at what seems dead and useless and realize that in God's purposes, there can still be life and goodness and fruit that will come. So when we get full of despair and grief, and we have to hold that grief with all that is happening, let us also go out into God's world, the plants, the little bits of bulbs that are trying to come up, the very dead-looking things that are, I learned from you, Louise, that are still protecting the bees and other insects from where they've hibernated over the winter. Don't clean them out too soon because they need time to come forth before we clean up our beds too much. All that's happening right now. The world, God's world, is always working for life, for love, for goodness. Let it alone. We keep working for good along with God the best we know how. But the challenge of faith is, how do we trust the gardener? How do we trust the creator? That even in the midst of what seems so wrong, God has not abandoned us. God has not forgotten. God is still doing God's work. May we have eyes to see and hearts that can be hopeful in difficult times. And faith to trust. And to look for the light. To see the light growing stronger when it may seem that there is so much that is dark. And live as children of light, even in a world that is full of darkness. We can do it. May God be with us as we do.